Content marketing. I'm Amanda Milligan, the marketing director at Fractal, and every week on the show, I interview marketing experts about the ways to know the value of your work and get buy-in for your strategies. This week, we're exploring how to set up a content measurement plan with digital marketing lead Azeem Ahmad, known as Azeem Digital, also online. Welcome to the show, Azeem.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
I am really excited for this conversation. This is a topic we cover often on this show, but I get the sense that everyone does it a little bit differently. So I'm really excited that you're here to kind of walk through how you approach things. And I think it'll be good. We talked before the show to use a hypothetical brand or a hypothetical site to kind of give some examples as well as we go. So let's start with like the big hypothetical of you're creating a new content strategy for a client, or you're doing it internally for a brand, right? How do you set up the infrastructure to even begin to set yourself up for success, to track this, how you're going to use all these different tactics and all those different types of content? Because I feel like that's a very overwhelming start.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I will be doing is praying that they have some sort of existing data set for me to work with. But if they don't, it's not the end of the world. I would just turn on GI in any form of measurement process that I can immediately. But the best way that I would do this, it's something that I've spoken about in the past. And side note, if this is a topic that's been talked a lot on your podcast, I'm definitely feeling the pressure to deliver now. But anyway, let's do this. Something that I've noticed in the past, especially from a multi-channel perspective and speaking from my own experience, there never tends to be a proper plan in place. It's always a case of, right, we need content, so I'll brief it in. Let's create the content and that's it. Put the content out there. There's never a consideration as to like who, what, where, when, why, any of the key questions. It's simply just, we need it, brief it, create it. Let's just get it out there. And it's a very short term way of thinking. And speaking predominantly from an SEO point of view, content doesn't last 5 minutes or a month. You need to make sure that it's sort of evergreen and lasts a long time. So one of the things that I've done is not necessarily scrap that, but if you've seen me talk at conferences in the past, I have this framework where essentially I will say, right, keep the fact that you need content there at the beginning, right? But this time, find a gap for it. And from a multi-channel perspective, find a channel for it. Instead of coming to me saying, we need to talk about why our customers should buy this product, start to think about, this is something that I genuinely push back on, as I start to think about how many ways we can talk about this and what channels we can put it on. That's step one. I'm just going to run right into this, so feel free to shut me up.
Well, actually, I would love to follow up on that really quick, which is,
go for it.
Maybe you're about to, but when you say find those gaps, how do you go about doing that?
So the chances are you're probably in a crowded marketplace, right? And people are talking about the same thing. That gap could, a quick win, that gap could be your USP or your business's USP or your client's USP. How are you or your client standing out from everybody else? If you're not, stop right there and consider thinking about something to do to stand out. But if you're going to say the same thing as everybody else, the best you can ever hope to achieve is probably second place. And for somebody that, like me, who's incredibly competitive outside of work, nobody remembers second place. You have to stand out. So in answer to your question, the gap needs to be essentially your USP or something that you could use as a hook for your customers to say, right, I am going to spend my pounds, dollars with this brand.
That makes total sense. So thank you for clarifying that. So that was number one. What is number two? I interrupted you before you jumped into number two.
Number two is essentially, you need to decide what is your North Star, or in English, what is the KPI for that piece of content, which I will definitely go into in more detail later on. But number two, is decide how you want that piece of content to be measured. What's the North Star goal for that? And I'll elaborate on that later on, but I don't want to give too much away too early because I want people to listen to the entire episode.
You know, you're a podcaster when you have these strategies. Yeah.
Absolutely. Step three is, if you already have a similar type of content that exists like this already, consider doing a review of that content. Why is it not performing, or how well has it performed up to this date? Can that be refreshed, and can that be brought up to date, or brought modernized is the word I'm looking for, brought in up to the modern times? If it's something that's quite old, can we be bringing it up to the modern times? That's your next step. The step after that is, if you don't have that in place, and from a multi-channel perspective, consider building a wireframe for the page, or if it's a video piece of content, consider building a storyboard. The very last thing you want to do, if it's a video piece of content, you don't want to say, right, well, we need a video to explain the benefits of our product, and then immediately jump into filming. Absolutely not. One thing that you should be doing is create a storyboard, visualize. There's absolutely somebody inside every business who is obsessed with Pinterest. For reference, that is not me. Go and talk to that person and say, right, show me something visually that we can use to work from. Moving on, the next step would be, if you have a piece of content that already exists, redesign or rebuild that page with the user in mind. And when I say the user in mind, there is two amazing things I live and swear by. And luckily, one of them, I believe, already exists in the new GA. As a side note, I'm not the biggest fan of GA4, but I'm coming around to it. Stepping back, those two things I'm talking about are scroll depth tracking and YouTube measurements. Tracking YouTube view measurements, push through as events into GA. Incredibly useful information, an absolute gold mine. Because this is where I may deviate from your previous guests. And if they're listening, feel free to tell me off. But that's the beauty of opinions. I absolutely hate and detest industry benchmarks. I think they're a good starting point, but I will never ever use them in terms of my marketing or my marketing strategies or plan. It's just a nice thing to know. Industry benchmarks mean absolutely nothing. One thing that I would use ahead of those is our own customer data, which you can get from things like scroll depth and YouTube tracking. What I mean by that is, if I know from my own data set that a particular blog post on the benefits of products, you only have a scroll to 60%, I am going to snip that 60% of the page, put that piece of content in front of someone I know who has never read it before, and say to them, what does this tell you? What have you learned from this piece of content? And then think of a way to rewrite it. Or if it's a video piece of content, somebody, let's say it's a 10-minute video and somebody's only watched up to 3 minutes, I will get a cut of that video and only play those 3 minutes to somebody who hasn't seen it. And I will say, right, what have you learned from this? And then reuse that. But essentially, that is my process, but I've recently updated it from my current workplace. And essentially, it boils down to three things. And again, feel free to either to disagree or say, that's not how I do it. I have a better way of doing it, because I'm not perfect. This isn't perfect. The three things are essentially, decide on what you want to track. Does it align with the business goals? The second step is measure, but more importantly, manage your data sets across every channel. I think as marketers, we are spoiled with the amount of data that we have. We have access to loads of data. But there is such thing as potentially too much data when it comes to this type of activity. And the last thing is only report on what is necessary. So if you're happy, I will go through each one of those steps quite quickly, because they on their own sound quite vague, but as I explain them, hopefully that will make a little bit more sense. So when I say the first step is essentially agree on what you actually want to track, and does it align with the business goals? And I mean for this across every channel, so not necessarily a blog post. We could be talking about social media posts, videos, anything that you want to drive in terms of form completions and downloads. It has to align with the business goals. I've been in a business in the past where the marketing team that I've joined, their goals are completely different to the business goals. So one team's vision of success is not the business's vision of success. And for everybody to be on the same page and for the business to succeed, you have to be all aligned on what does your organization basically define as success from a content point of view.
Then yeah, what is an example of that misalignment?
So let's say, for example, one big one that I've done in the past is what I've experienced in the past is the marketing team has run off with the idea that people do not know about the brand. So the marketing activities have been entirely focused on driving brand awareness. So things like social listening, views of a specific page, video views, or just driving more traffic to the website. Whereas the business says, well, actually, we need leads. We don't care. Not we don't care. That's probably the wrong turn of phrase to use. But we are not as interested in driving more awareness of the brand as we are of driving leads, because our pipeline is drying up. We need leads in the short term to hit our, let's say, quarterly target. But the marketing team is like, brand, brand, brand. Brand will get you more leads down the line. And there's so many things that are wrong there in terms of communication. But it's basically, like you said, it's a complete misalignment. And in the short term, it might not be the best thing to work towards, because it just shows a massive breakdown in communication. So that alignment is completely necessary, because you can decide, like I said, what the top priorities are, what costs will be involved, because I haven't really touched on costs at this point. But in that example, imagine the amount of wasted ad dollars you could spend on driving brand awareness when at the end of the month or quarter, you're asked to report back in this example scenario about what the cost per lead is. Well, you're saying, well, it's cost us X amount to drive this many views of our blog post or of our social media post, but you can't turn around and say, this is how many leads we've driven. So that misalignment will ultimately catch up to you, whether it's 1 month, 2 months, or even quarterly down the line, it will catch up to you. So alignment is 100% key there.
That's a great breakdown. Thank you.
So once you've decided your priorities and your costs, costs are important, because without costs, you obviously can't get an ROI. And then you, from there, like I've already touched upon, I won't go into too much detail, but audit what content you already have. And I think you've probably got tons of episodes like this already where you're talking about going over your existing content. But where I mentioned about goals and their associated metrics are inherently different. So like I said, brand awareness, you could have so many different things, like, you know, as I've said, page views, traffic to website, social listening, social views. If a company wants leads, you'll be looking at specific things like, right, how many people have subscribed to the blog? What's our conversion rate? How many people have completed a form? How many people have downloaded this document? How many people have joined our newsletter? Things like that. If it's just pure sales, then you're going to be looking at potentially including some manual data in there from online and offline sales. If it's things like, okay, upselling, cross-selling, completely different things again, because you'll be looking at when customers reach a specific part of the purchase journey, where can we start to look at introducing them to new products or services? So again, we could do a whole other episode on that, but step one is full alignment on what it is you actually want to track and make sure it aligns with the business goals. And then, like I said, feel free to shut me up, because I'll just carry on.
I love this is amazing. I'm so impressed. Keep going.
Step two, essentially, of this three-step plan is to measure, but like I said, manage your data sets. So go and talk to your C-suite or the most senior person in your business and say, what do you want the marketing team to achieve and what do you want them to measure? 9 out of 10 of them will say everything. However, there will almost always be like one North Star goal to hit. Do they want the brand to grow? Do they want awareness of the brand to grow? Like I said, do they want more leads, more traffic, a bigger share of voice? As I've already mentioned, if the marketing team, their values don't align with the company's value, friction will occur. It's only a matter of time. Then, like I said, decide on KPIs for content. So let's think of something else. Podcasts, right? Something that we both are aware of. You more so than me, by the way, because this is what, episode 6 billion now?
I do not think this is true. We'll talk about this later.
But for podcasts, the measurement metrics are inherently different. I look at things like retention rate, subscribers, downloads, social shares. I'll post a short clip on Twitter. How many views is that getting? That's how I would measure a podcast. Things like videos, straightforward views, shares, comments, where people are coming from, channel subscriptions, unique views, average view, durations. That's a metric that can track across both. In fact, for podcasts, you can track how much of an episode is listened to. If it's emails, it's something else. What is our open rate? What's the click-through rate? What's the churn? How many people have unsubscribed, which has worked well, et cetera, et cetera. There is a handful of metrics that you can get completely lost in. So it's always important to ensure that you're completely aligned and you're managing the data that is coming in. And there are so many different tools and platforms that you can use to help manage that. But the point that I'm making there is when you agree on what's important, you can then essentially flesh out the requirements for the specification for potentially a monthly, weekly, bi-weekly report, or even better, an automated dashboard, which brings me quite handily onto my third point, which is essentially reporting on only what is necessary. So the people in the C-suite, they often have a lot of money in their salaries, of course, not that I'm jealous, but what they don't have a lot of is time. So they are time poor. One of the things that you need to do is make sure your reporting completely cuts through that noise. Like I've just mentioned about potentially having a dashboard. You might not need a dashboard or any potentially like fancy tool. You can start off, if your budget is low, you can use something like Microsoft Excel or even just Data Studio where you can, and plug it in with Google Sheets. Align those back to your goals. Start each report, when you're talking about things like this, with an executive summary. Remember, these people do not have a lot of time to read this, and the last thing you want to do is invest hours and lots of dollars in producing something that nobody's going to read. So literally, exec summary, here's how we performed against our key goals that we've agreed on. And then more importantly than anything else, in that executive summary, can't even say it, sorry, include an action. You need to demonstrate to these people why you're being paid and why you should continue to be paid to do your job. So say what you're going to do. At the start of the report, excuse me, I would say, here's what we did. This is how it worked, or this is how it didn't work. But most importantly, say why, and here's what we are going to do from the back of this. You need to prove that your content was a success. Prove that everything that you've done up to this point was successful. If it wasn't, say why not and what you're going to do to rectify it. But in this scenario where it is a success, talk about things like why it was and how you're going to continue to get more of it. So things like, you know, like I said, did your subscribers grow? Has your customer loyalty increased? More importantly, have those pound or dollar signs gone up when they're compared to the last period? Once you're done, you need to go back to the start and essentially do it all over again, because it's a cyclical process. It's a cycle. It never ends. There are loads of different ways of things that you can report on, but one thing that I absolutely want to share with your listeners before you shut me up and say get off my podcast, you've been talking for too long, is something that I mentioned right at the very start, where I talked about defining the ROI of the content. So that is important, in that when you're talking to the C-suite, you could just be using lots of terms and phrases that they might not be aware of, like click-through rate. I have separate views on click-through rate, which I'll leave for another episode. Click-through rate, views, shares. 9 times out of 10, they will say, this is great. How much money is it making me, and why should I invest in content, and what's the benefits of it? Right. Like I said earlier, do not use industry standard benchmarks. Only use them as a reference point, but use your own data. I'm going to completely make up some numbers here and demonstrate why, from a financial point of view, this type of activity makes complete sense. And this is something that I've done in the past. It's not something that I can take credit for and that I've done myself or created myself. It's something that somebody shared with me a long time ago. and I completely forget their names and they're going to kill me, but this is the beauty of podcasting. And when I remember, I will absolutely credit them on Twitter. So firstly, sorry, oh my God. Let's imagine that all organic traffic that converts into leads would be, let's say, 20%, make it easy. So when I say organic, I mean everything, like SEO, organic social, literally everything, any form of traffic comes to you organically, we'll say that's 20%. If we're thinking purely SEO, there was a HubSpot study a while ago that said that the average rate of a leads to sale conversion is about 15%. And for context, I think print was 1% maybe or 2, very low in comparison. So if we're working on leads, where I said that traffic to leads conversions, you just get the number of monthly visits to your site, multiply that by 20%, that gives you the number of leads you get per month. When we're talking about sales potentially from those leads, as I mentioned, it was 14 or 15%. So you get those leads and times them by the 14% to give you the number of sales per month. When you use actual numbers, and again, I'm not doing this off the top of my head. I've cheated a little bit and done a bit of maths in advance of this recording. But if I use a monthly traffic number and I've just randomly bashed the keyboard and came up with 16,194, that is the monthly traffic number from this example website. I said earlier that the average organic traffic to leads conversion is 20%. So you multiply that by 0.2, gives you 3,239 leads. Stick with me, there's going to be loads of numbers, but I'll prove to you that it's worth it. 3,239 leads, you multiply that by your 0.14 or 0.15, gives you 486 sales. Essentially, that formula that I've just shown you there for your content marketing will give you an ROI of 3,239 leads and approximately 486 sales. But again, there's no real ROI because I haven't included costs. So if I imagine and pretend that you need to outsource your content marketing and it costs you £500, I can't do dollars, £500 for one piece of content and you need four pieces of content a month. £2,000 a month, £24,000 a year. You need to explain, because you're asking for investment, how much traffic does £2,000 per month get you organically? You can use tools for this. What do you want to target? What keywords do you want to go after? Where they're going to be positioned, for example, or from a social media point of view, you can look at things like market saturation, which you could literally spend an entire episode talking about. But essentially, you decide the size of the market versus what's available to you, and then work out how much of that you can spend to get. But for simplicity, let's say £2,000 per month will get you 5,000 visitors to your website. Before you go any further, £2,000, 5,000 visitors. Now what you can do is compare that to PPC. How much would it cost you in PPC terms to get you 5,000 people to come to your website? Then you, if you're already doing that and if you're already spending money on PPC, you can turn around and say to whoever will listen in that boardroom, we are spending X amount more than £2,000 to get 5,000 visits to the website. Our conversion rate is nowhere near where we've spoken about earlier on, the 20% mark. We know that this type of activity converts better. So that £2,000 per month gets you 5,000 visitors. You multiply that by your 0.2, gets you 1,000 leads. Multiply that by your 0.15, your lead to sale conversion rate, gets you 150 sales. So £2,000 per month will get you 150 sales. When you start to put this in numbers, if you don't get the buy-in, pardon the pun, you can literally demonstrate to the people in the boardroom the value of this type of activity and also justify the amount of time you spend putting a solid measurement framework in place, because that's completely important. Every person in that boardroom will likely be driven by money and how much did we spend, how much did we make. One has to be higher than the other, and it better not be what we spend versus what we made. When you can demonstrate that, literally you will elevate yourself to the echelons of your business, and they'll be like, this person is someone we need to take more notice of. And that is essentially a good starting point to get a solid measurement framework and a content marketing plan in place.
I am obsessed with this whole breakdown. You did such a fantastic job. Where did that 20% come from? Was that an industry thing from the study, or was that like a percentage you made up as an example of like a previous benchmark at this hypothetical company?
Yeah, it's a benchmark that I made up from this hypothetical company, but I'm not going to name them. In the past company that I've worked with, they've all been higher than that 15% from like a leads to sale conversion, organic traffic, although we couldn't get a lot of it. It was always higher than that conversion rate. So we always sort of topped it up with paid traffic. But for the purposes of this hypothetical business, that was a number that I made up so that my maths would be easier.
Yeah, no, that's useful. I just wanted to give people the context so that they can do that for themselves when they listen.
Yes,
to this.
Absolutely. Use your own data, never industry benchmarks, please.
No, that's a really great point. Thank you for breaking all that down. I've never heard it put so well in such a short amount of time. Where do you think people are tripping up the most? And all of these steps, where do you see the biggest issues?
For me, in my experience, and again, the listeners, feel free to disagree or ultimately share your experiences with us, because I'd love to learn from you all listening. The biggest mistakes where people are tripped up often is just constantly churning out content, new content. And then you're at risk of duplication in some cases, because like I said at the very beginning of this episode, the chances are this type of content you might already have. And using the example that I gave earlier on, if you are paying, let's say, £500 for a piece of content, when you might already have something that just needs a little bit of freshening up on your website, you've then wasted £500 of your company's budget to get a piece of content that you might have already had. So it's literally just, I just see content machines. Teams continually tend to grow in terms of headcount, just churning out content. And there's not a lot of consideration into looking at and auditing what already exists, because it might just need a slight tweak, which can literally skyrocket your traffic for you if done correctly.
And then I have one more question for you. I know we're almost out of time, but you had touched on setting up, or not even touched on, you went into good detail about how KPIs are really important per type of content, right? Mm-hmm. And how much of it is telling this internal story from talking about something like podcast subscriptions to ultimately the bottom line, right? Like, how are you connecting those dots?
I think for me, one of the ways that I have explained it internally, side note, I'm not going to fully give it away because then everybody will become better marketers than me. but essentially, so I've been in the industry, 8 years now? For me, when I first started in the industry, it was fairly easy for websites to attract traffic. It was just a case of, hi, this is our company. This is what we do. Come and buy from us. That's how simple it was. Now, let's fast forward 8 years, and companies have invested heavily in terms of time and money in becoming, let's say, hubs of content. So it's not necessarily of, hi, this is our company, this is what we sell, buy from us. Now companies have evolved in the sense of they're saying, here is how our product will benefit you. So that is potentially like an informational piece of content that might not necessarily lead to a sale, but will keep the brand in customers' minds. And it will be like, well, okay, I'm doing a little bit of research. It might be a long purchase journey. Think auto, for example. I've worked autos in the past, and I think there was a Google study that said it takes something like 900 individual digital interactions before a customer actually drives out of the showroom with a car. That's potentially 900 pieces of content, whether new or returning, that you need to start thinking about in terms of getting that in front of the customer's mind. But the point I'm trying to make is businesses and marketing has evolved to such a point where customers want information, as much data as we have as marketers. We should be trying to deliver information to customers saying, well, here are the benefits of our products. Here is why we think we are better than the market, or we want to be seen as the market leaders. Here are actual customers using our product in their day-to-day lives. So you're not just hearing Joe Bloggs, the CEO, telling you how great we are because he wants to buy a fifth house. social proof is massive. All these types of things, which might not necessarily lead to a sale directly, but they all have a place in the big content marketing jigsaw. And those types of considerations and those types of marketers who think in that sense definitely set themselves apart from the rest, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Azeem, I'm blown away. This was phenomenal. I so appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and give everyone a really solid framework for setting up a content strategy.
Hope it was useful. Thank you so much for having me.
So useful. So wonderful. Knowing the objective of the show, who would you recommend to come be guests in the future?
Oh, well, this is going to be a tough one because, like I said to you, you're on 15 billion episodes now.
That's the precise number.
I have a friend who is an incredible content marketer. She loves content. Her name's Rejoice Ojaku, Reggie for short. Please tell me you haven't had her on the podcast already because she'll kill me.
I haven't.
Definitely hit her up. She is really, really hot on content. So much so that she was one of the standout speakers of the most recent Brighton SEO. I think Twitter basically exploded, largely because I was trying to help explode Twitter when she was talking. But literally, she was absolutely brilliant, and content is her bag. So definitely get her on, and I'll take 50% of the finder's fee.
Awesome. Really appreciate that recommendation. I've seen her on Twitter and I missed the most recent Brighton, so I would love to have her on the show. Azeem, again, awesome. I cannot thank you enough. Thank you for sharing your insights with everyone.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute blast. And I wish you all the best for the next 7 billion episodes.
Wait, give a quick shout out to your own podcast.
Yeah, so my podcast is called The Azeem Digital Asks Podcast. Essentially, it's an all-round digital marketing podcast where I cover things like PPC, SEO, social media, and then wider topics that the industry generally tends not to talk about in terms of things like diversity and inclusion, which I'm a big advocate of, salary transparency, remote working, Power BI, recruitment, everything, basically. And I'm very keen to elevate the voices of POC women and the underrepresented and marginalized within the digital marketing community. So if you fit any of those identifiers, then definitely please reach out to me and we can make something happen. I'm absolutely going to extend the offer to you on recording, Amanda, so you have to now. I've only got 50 odd episodes, so like a drop in the ocean compared to your 17 billion, but you're more than welcome to come on the show.
I would love to be on your show. Everyone subscribe to his podcast. He's doing amazing things. And thank you again. If you've listened to this and want even more tips, sign up for your podcast newsletter, our podcast newsletter, by going to the podcast page on the Fractal website. And if you've learned anything from this show, we'd love it if you'd subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review. Thank you to Sean Kelly for podcast music and editing, and to Joao Pereira for the logo design. And thank you, dear listener. I hope you'll join us next time.